co-founder of the British Nursing Alliance, Kate Shimarani, on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Happy Sunday, you guys in the Natural Nurse Army. It's me, your favorite and most fabulous nurse, natural nurse in a toxic world. And I just want to also say hello to our one seaman, because us gals do like our natural nurse seaman, and to his lovely wife, who is a nurse. Thank you for your emails. Please forgive me. I have over 12,000 in total, and I am ploughing through them. Don't forget, you can email me your medical crimes in tyrannical times. Kate Shimarani at tntradio.live. Don't forget to get on the website, buy socks and everything else to support this station, which brings you the truth. Do you want the truth? Can you handle the truth? Well, let's just look at what is happening in the UK this week. And you know all about my life. My nails look like, I dare say I've got transvestite hands, but I don't even know if I'm allowed to say that anymore. Nails are off because I've been digging, I've been doing everything, decorating, gardening, you name it, I've been doing it all, as well as looking after the daughter, working, blah, 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 blah. Because I am that fabulous. But anyway, what's gone off in Britain this week? Well, we did see a gentleman at a rally in a wheelchair in his 90s with dementia and one leg. And he was dragged from his wheelchair by two police officers, beaten with a baton, tasered, put in the back of a police van, taken off to the police station, where he then subsequently ended up at the hospital from there and died 3 weeks later. Now, Graham Moore of the English Constitution Party and the full English, he's actually been following this case, and he couldn't find the case listed at the court, which is quite interesting. Now, this it was all sort of kept quiet at the court, and 200 ex-police officers at the Independent Office for Police Conduct working on the investigation team stated in the report findings that the assault did not contribute to his death. They pleaded not guilty to causing actual bodily harm to Donald Burgess, a 93-year-old man originally from Australia. They've elected a summary hearing at Crown Court. It's very interesting, and I would ask anyone to go and look at that case. I'm not sure why a man with one leg needed to be dragged from any wheelchair. It's all, but then again, you know, this is it's tyrannical crimes, medical crimes, tyrannical crimes. It's all there. So that's happened in the UK this week. There is a wonderful document that's out about COVID. We're told that pasteurized milk's got the flu virus in it. I don't even drink milk. You shouldn't be drinking A1 milk. You should be drinking A2. But the minute they say, you know, it's got the flu, bird flu virus in it, it would make me glug it. Not that I'm telling any of you to do it. And just to say, any information I give you today is for entertainment purposes only. Please do cartwheel around your living room upon hearing it. If you have any new or existing symptoms, or you are on any prescription medication, please do go and discuss this with your doctor. Whether you believe he's indoctrinated or not, please do go and visit your Rockefeller trained doctor and advise him. Don't just stop taking your meds, because sometimes you have to wean off them. We've seen Andrew Bridgen back in Parliament, and with regards to the administering of midazolam through NG163, which I'm going to get on. For any of you that are just coming across my show, this is why I'm going to do a recap for my fabulous guest. And you know me, at the end of the show, I always leave you with something good. And today, after what will be leaving you feeling very unsanitary, in your mind, body and soul, we're going to be talking about soap and what soap you should use and why using the wrong soap could make you ill. Anyway, Raggy Omar, who's one of the presented on the news, had an unfortunate episode where he wasn't getting his words out, couldn't say it. We don't know what happened to him. That's been reported everywhere. Who knows? I'm not going to speculate. But when I did own a telly and watch The Idiot's Lantern and the news, I don't recall seeing all these presenters dropping like flies or having strokes or anything else. Now, on to my topic, you fabulous natural nurse army, because I know that as you're listening to me, you've already been outside and earthed yourself on the garden. You've probably had your 4 ounces of water hourly from whether you're awake all day in Australia, whether you've only just woken up in the UK, but you are having your water hourly so that you have at least a minimum of a litre and a half of water, because I tell you about it. My guests are just slurping right now. And you men have already pole vaulted out of your beds with your morning erection section because you are healthy, because you're listening to me, and you can sire children till you drop down dead. And you ladies are having a fabulous new life. You're not suffering any symptoms of menopause, also having a fabulous sex life because you're listening to me. And we give you solutions from farming, growing your veg to your genitalia. Anyway, let's talk about what happened in 2020, because this is where I have been constantly on it and people know me, natural nurse in a toxic world. I was out the bag first talking about COVID, talking about an inversion in the genome sequence indicative of vector technology. I was talking about 5G in February of 2020, which saw several million views of me banned from everywhere and subsequently convicted criminal, house raided, you name it, I've done it all. Well, 90,000 elderly patients were removed from hospitals in 2020. 93% of those patients were moved into care homes owned by two companies, HC1 and Barchester. Both of those companies have their accounts in the Cayman Islands. Are you smelling a rat yet? That rat's going to get really big in a minute. 83% of those that died of COVID were given 5 to 7 times the dose of midazolam. They were given it with morphine, which increases the effects of each drug when you give them together. It's a synergistic effect. Now, the care homes that took these patients were given by the government an extra £3,300 per week on top of their care home fee and a one-off payment, which we can't find. So as you can imagine, this was a very lucrative business. Undertakers have also provided information that they were told to hang on, we'll have another one in a minute that's dying. Most of the deaths were in the care homes. Exercise sickness document 2016. We have copies of that. We've put it out. States on page 9 that in the event of a respiratory virus to protect the NHS, the elderly and disabled were to be sacrificed. Not my words. It's in there. Jeremy Hunt. On the TV at that time was Matt Hancock. Matt Hancock was the sole director of Supply Chain Coordination Limited in his capacity as health secretary, bought with taxpayers' money. Accord Healthcare Limited, one of the six directors is Lord Baron Gadier, who sits as court over the Bank of England, who was named in the cash for favour scandal with David Cameron. We have the Anglo-Indian Alliance and the Conservative Friends of India. Are you keeping up? If you're not, sit down and please listen, or listen back to this. Matt Hancock said what was needed for a good death, and he was speaking to another gentleman, a doctor who's now in politics, and I'm going to let my guest talk about that. And he said what was needed for a good death. A good death, we needed syringe drivers and we needed midazolam, and I will add my words, we need a useful idiot to administer it. I have been a nurse, trained and qualified, with an exemplary record, not a single bad conduct against me, no patient complaints in my entire time on the nursing register. None. I was an independent nurse prescriber, trained and qualified. You cannot take either of those qualifications away from me. I'm just no longer on the register. I'm not a registered nurse, nor do I desire to be one. I spoke out against these things and I was struck off. What of it? I don't care. Shove it where the sun don't shine. I stopped engaging with them. I'm not interested to be on that register. What did they need for a good death? They needed midazolam. They needed the syringe driver. They were supplied with, from Accord Healthcare Limited, 9.9 million milligrams to Supply Chain Coordination Limited. That is approximately 2 years worth of midazolam that would be used ordinarily in end-of-life care or anesthesia. That's what was used. It was used in 9 months. Now, there were many things that came out, the guidelines that came down from NICE that doctors must follow. If they deviate from these guidelines, they're not insured. NG159, NG163, NG191, 27.7, 27.2, and we're now on to, I think, 29.5. These patients were given very large doses. Now, in a Supreme Court in America, in, I believe it was 2017, please forgive me if I get the date slightly wrong. As you can imagine, this is all going around in my fabulous brain. And I have it all here. This is my file with everything in it, including the anti-euthanasia bill from 2000, medical treatment for prevention of euthanasia bill, bill 12, 1999 to 2000. Pivotal in that was Anne Winterton. It's illegal. Euthanasia is illegal in the UK. Therefore, if it was legal, you'd need consent by the patient. So if you give drugs to hasten a death, that is what? It is murder. If that is a prescription, should that not be premeditated murder? So if you're giving a prescription of drugs, now going back to midazolam, a Supreme Court in America ruled that midazolam couldn't be used because it was akin to waterboarding. It was prolonged torture. But don't worry, they're giving it to your loved ones. Does it kill you? No, it paralyzes your diaphragm. It paralyzes your diaphragm. And this is why they can't use it in the executions. So you are aware you want to breathe, but you cannot. That is what it is. But nobody comes back to tell the story. I'm horrified. I have been told so many testimonies by relatives, by nurses, by doctors. This should frighten the living daylights out of everybody. So why do I call it the National Homicide Service? Well, if you're hastening a death, what is it? That's exactly what it is. Well, for all you nurses and doctors, and for you little muppets out there who keep saying, oh, she said, hang the doctors, nurses, do go and look at the footage. It makes you sound a complete idiot. There were police behind me, even Gold Commander in Trafalgar Square. I never said that, of course. I said, do not do the government's dirty work. And I said, now is the time to get off that bus, meaning the vaccine bus. There was a time in history when doctors and nurses were hanged. I actually said hung, which is grammatically incorrect, but I was corrected on that. I never said I was an expert in English. So you see, when we got to Nuremberg, it was the doctors and nurses that were indeed hanged or went to prison for life or went to prison for administering concoctions of drugs, starving the patients and dehydrating them or leaving them out to die of exposure. These guidelines were that you removed all essential food and water and you put them on these drugs. Well, if you read the GMC about what to do for end of life, they're meant to make sure that the patient's hydrated, even if you use subcut. I heard cases of patients begging for drinks, a testimony from a student nurse saying that the patients were begging for a drink and she was forbidden to give them. The senior nurse clicking the finger to get the student nurse out of the room and said, do not give them anything to drink. Patients being left to lie in their own feces and urine, begging for drinks. The curtains swiftly closed on a relative who was leaning through the window as her father outstretched his hand in a nursing home, begging for a drink. He was dead 24 hours later. Are you afraid? Because I am. Now, we're going to have a note from our sponsors here, and then we are going to talk to a fantastic journalist, and she is on this like an absolute rash and has been from the very beginning, along with myself and many others, Jackie Devoy, and she's a full-time freelance journalist for more than 3 decades. I believe she was a journalist on my magazine that my mother would never buy us because it was too much money, so I had to ponce my friends, the Jackie magazine. In 2021, she launched an investigation into euthanasia in the NHS, and it resulted in her producing the shocking documentary, A Good Death. There ain't nothing good about this, folks. This is why I call it the National Homicide Service. And for you nurses and doctors trying to defend your position, you do not go above the law. You have no right to discard the sanctity of life. And you will face justice, if not in this life, in the next. Her second film, Playing God, was released in April 2024. Oh, my word. She's on UNN. And, you know, I've sat with her when we spoke publicly to hundreds of people. That's going to really frighten the socks off you. So just a note from our sponsors, we're going to come right back and get into the meat and potatoes. You're listening to me, Kate Shimarani, for TNT Radio Live.
TNT's Rick Munn.
People are, terrified. What happens if the internet goes down? What happens if we can't get online? What happens if this? Listen, we've been around for millennia with no mobile phones. There's been revolutions in the past with no mobile phones. Wars have been won in the past with no mobile phones, okay? So we use them. Don't let them use you, but don't worry too much about it if things get shut down, because we've always got people, real physical people, inhabiting a real physical world there. So that's a little timely reminder of that.
Locked and Loaded with Rick Munn on today's News Talk TNT.
In a democracy, the majority vote rules. But in most democracies, you can only vote for change every 3 or 4 years. To understand what people want, governments and political parties use focus groups. These focus groups can include as little as 20 people. Australia is a country of over 25 million people. Does making decisions based on 20 people sound fair to you? Have your say. Be heard in between elections. Download the For My Say app now. That is number 4, My Say.
TNTRadio.live.
Online.
Streaming.
Be a part of the conversation.
I stream it all at work, and I stream it to my phone and listen to it wherever I go.
TNT.
I am Kate Shimarani, your natural nurse in a toxic world. And you are in the Natural Nurse Army, and we have a seaman as well. And we are talking medical crimes in tyrannical times, murder most horrid, the National Homicide Service. What happened to all of those so-called COVID patients? Why were they moved to nursing homes? Why were they given a drug, remdesivir, which the carrying agent, 53% of those in the Ebola trials died when they were given remdesivir. So why is it being given to the patients? And it's the protocol. The carrying agent causes fluid to collect in the lungs and in the heart. And what is this then called? COVID pneumonia. Why are these patients being given these drugs? Why are they being put on the ventilators? Why in America did they have over 99% and then 100% recovery with budesonide, which only cost 33 quid, but remdesivir is over 3,000. Actually, I think it might be dollars, but you're seeing my point, $33 or quid and over 3,000 quid. All of the hospitals in America, if they gave remdesivir, they got 20% discount on all their drugs. I told you that rat's going to get really big. In fact, I think you've now got several rats under your nose. Jackie, welcome to my show on TNT, and you have made this second documentary. I'm not going to lie, I do know everything. I've got all the documents, but it's still, I'm getting goosebumps because I've had some of those relatives on here, and it still fills me with horror and fear. So tell us about your first film, which was released, and then your second film, so that they lead in nicely. The floor is yours.
Okay, thank you. Thanks for having me on your show, Kate. Thank you. The first film, A Good Death? Was made in 2021 with Iconic Media, and we made it in 3 months. It came out in December 2021. I've obviously been investigating this for some time, since late 2020. I took the story of euthanasia that was going on in care homes, hospitals and hospices, all NHS settings, to the national papers. No one was interested, even though I had face-to-face meetings with a couple of news editors and medical editors, where I took a man with me who had incontrovertible evidence that his loved one had been murdered, because there is no other word for it, involuntary euthanasia. I don't know why that phrase exists, because it is just murder, and it's illegal, as you mentioned earlier, in the UK, although they're trying to change that, obviously. He came with me to the meetings. They listened to our story. They looked at his evidence. He had a great fat file of evidence. Their jaws were on the floor. They were saying, this is massive. This is huge news. I said, if you ran the story, when you run the story in the paper, because I presume they would at that point, where will it be in the paper? They said, well, on the front page, obviously. It's like, it's the biggest news we've heard in decades, you know. So I thought, brilliant. This was in early 2021. So off they went with their copy documents that we brought for them. These are two separate meetings, but in the same week. And then pretty much, just to in a nutshell, didn't really hear much from them after that, even though I chased. One of them chatted to a couple of my case studies. I had about 16 people at the time who were all telling me the same story. I had them in a WhatsApp group. The group's still going. There's 142 people in that group now, all with very similar stories of loved ones being killed in care homes or hospitals mainly. And he talked to a few of them, and then he got back to me and he said he can't run the story because there's not enough evidence. And I said, but we've got evidence. And he had written a story about this previously in July 2020, saying, which is still available online in the Daily Mail, saying that asking whether sedatives were being used to kill people in 2020 in care homes. So I thought, well, this is this story and a bit more. You know, we've got the evidence now. We've got more people. We've got people with stories that you can talk to and feature in the article. And even though he had more evidence than he had when he wrote his first article, he said there's not enough evidence, which made no sense. And then he just completely went quiet on me. And I chased him a few times, and I've never heard from him since, even though I tag him in a lot of things. He's now not working as a journalist anymore. He's working, I think, for some pharmaceutical company, of course, and he's gone extremely quiet. The other guy just kind of fobbed me off and just said, you know, he didn't have time to do it. He passed it on to someone else. They'd be in touch. Of course, they weren't in touch. I tried to find out who he'd passed it on to, but I don't think he passed it on to anyone. And this is how it went. So after a few months,
Jackie, may I just ask? Yes, as I understand it, was it the editor of one of the newspapers after putting a story about population triage on their front page in one of the main tabloids? I was at the Times or the Guardian. They put this story of population triage in the paper, and then that editor was summoned straight to Downing Street.
Really?
So, yes, that is actual fact. And I will, I don't want to interrupt Jackie anymore, but I can talk about that maybe later or on another show. I will keep recapping this, but Jackie, please do continue.
Yeah. So, since then, I've been to, I'd say, over 100. Different newspaper editors, magazine editors, and staff writers on these papers and magazines to say, you need to run this story. I am a dog with a bone. I'm like you in that way. I'm just like, are you going to run the story now? Are you going to run the story now? Are you going to run the story now? And they ignore me. They don't even reply now. They just actually just, if I pitch another story about something completely different, they reply. But when I say, oh, and are you going to run the euthanasia story yet? Silence. It's like they're not allowed to speak to me about it, or not allowed to speak about it at all, maybe.
Well, I first trained as a nurse in 1984. I've lived through the Liverpool care pathway, it was actually patients and the relatives that uncovered that. And basically they were starving the patients, dehydrating them and giving them drugs. And also one needs to go back in history to when King George, with a nurse present and his son present, was given cocaine and morphine into his jugular. His nurse was asked to administer it, and she wouldn't, thank goodness. He administered it, and the king was heard to say, damn you. Now, the doctor's wife wanted that report kept quiet, but upon the doctor's death and his memoirs, it came out, he'd actually put it all in there that he had administered the cocaine and the morphine with his son, Edward, in the room and the nurse. And his peers actually stated that he did this to lots of people, and he was known amongst the doctors for doing this, Dr. Death. So this is something actually that's always gone on. And I hate to say this, in my nursing career, I have seen this. And I'm ashamed to say, I was young. I can remember several patients where actually this has happened. And I also remember an oncologist saying to me, these patients die of starvation in the hospitals. It's starvation. It's not the disease. And we see this with dehydration with the elderly. This is horrific when we, the nurses and doctors are trusted in a position of great trust and authority to care. And I think based on what you're telling me and all of the things I've read and watching you, would you say that it would be, we could ask the question and we would be quite within our rights to ask the question of, are these doctors and nurses advocating for their patients or are they merely acting as agents of the state by administering these guidelines that are coming down from much higher up that are harming and hastening the death of the elderly, the disabled and the most vulnerable? Would you say that would be a fair question to ask?
Yes, although no one's allowed to ask questions about anything anymore, especially if you're a journalist, it seems. You know, if you ask a question, you're suddenly a ghoul. You know, that's the favoured word on Twitter anyway, with the algorithms and the bots that launch an attack anytime you speak out about anything these days. Of course, yes, most doctors and nurses are lovely. Most doctors and nurses are good people. But we've seen over the last 4 years, this new breed of nurses that every single person in my support group talks about. They're evil, they say. They say they're robotic. They don't look you in the eye. They're cold. They're sadistic. They say nasty things, or sometimes they don't say anything at all. They appear from nowhere, like weird Stepford Wife nurses with no names, no name badges.
It's yes, I've very, seen that. No name badges, which is... It's against policy and guidelines. The staff must be identified, yeah, and the patients must always be wearing patient ID, and the nursing and doctors have to have their ID visible.
Yeah, who are these people? I started to think only a few months ago, they've been shipped in, these people. They've been shipped in from somewhere to do the dirty job of euthanizing the elderly and disabled and then disappearing. Because people
you do have Jackie, there are palliative care nurses. I believe they're paid slightly more salary. There are some wonderful palliative care nurses who are there. They don't want the patient in pain. But can I just ask this question? Many of the testimonies I've read, these patients weren't in pain. Indeed, one case that I spoke to the son, who's high profile, the nurses came in and said to the gentleman, "Are you in pain?" And he said, "Oh, no, not at all." And they then administered morphine, midazolam and a flush. And within 20 minutes, he'd slumped to the side shortly after that. But in 20 minutes, he was declared dead.
Yeah, this is how it goes. I mean, this pathway that was brought in NG163 in April 2020, it was identical to the Liverpool care pathway in every way.
Yes,
so they
it was.
Stealthily brought it back in and to use on people in the name of a COVID protocol. And it actually was when this they first put it together, the NG163, Matt Hancock, who was the health secretary at the time, showed it to a panel of nine doctors and two professors. One of them was Professor Sam Ahmadzi. And they looked at it and they said, no, you can't use this because it's going to kill people. So they wrote letter to the BMJ, which you can still find online, that basically says this protocol is not to be used because it will kill people. And Matt Hancock said, thank you very much, and implemented it anyway. So it's like...
Well, there was one signature, was it not? Rob George was in the end. The one signature on there was Rob George. And and then it went. So what you have here, one could be forgiven in looking into these people. And as a journalist, Jackie has, as I have, because ultimately we are seeing this unfold. Can you tell us about one of the cases? I mean, I've seen so many. Tell us what's happened to maybe pick a case, if you can, well, just briefly.
In A Good Death, we had six people talking about their stories. I've heard hundreds more since. Not everyone wants to join the group.
They're afraid.
Yeah. I mean, I've heard just so many horror stories in the group now. But they're not just elderly victims. They're not terminally ill. Some of them are young, the victims. So in my group, I've got the mother of a 21-year-old girl who was killed. the grandmother of a 17-year-old boy who was killed. And I'm starting to think as well that a lot of these murders could be possibly, this is my opinion, linked to organ harvesting, because as we know, the law was changed back in May 2020.
May, that's right. Everyone is an organ donor unless they opt out. Just to say, you can opt out. You go online, opt out of organ donor. You opt out and you'll get a certificate and you must tell all your relatives. Absolutely. We all did that.
Wait, I did it, but a lot of people still don't know. So one woman whose husband was killed in hospital, she said she wanted to find out what happened and she wanted a post-mortem. The lawyer that she had employed came back to her and said, you can't have a post-mortem. And she said, why not? Not only just because they weren't doing them, they kind of like cancelled all the post-mortems back in 2020, but she was told his organs have been taken. And she said, well, we didn't give permission for that. And they said, you don't need permission anymore. The law changed. She was a nurse herself, but she didn't know that law had been changed. And they took her husband's organs without her permission.
Oh, my word. And this is what's coming out. I just would like to say, this is what's come out with doctors whistleblowing from Ukraine. We've all seen these testimonies, you know, a child that was unconscious, just unconscious. And they took the organs from the soldiers. This is horrific. And of course, this is not just in the UK, Jackie, is it? This is happening in Europe and America. And you've had Scott Sharer on here with his beautiful daughter, Grace, who was going to university. And 37 times, whatever, through her notes, it mentioned that she was Down syndrome. But she was going to university and she was about to take a driving test and had a Mercedes sports car. It wasn't affecting her mental capacity, but her father, he was given budesonide. Grace was systematically murdered over a few days. That's the case is now in court this year against the nurses and the doctor. So this is happening everywhere in lockstep, these protocols. So can you talk about, you made this documentary. It is excellent. It's very succinct and to the point. You made your first one, which is interesting. It was Charles Davenport and William Monk who wrote a book, Euthanasia. And that word, I think is it Greek? Euthanatos. Yeah. It means a good death. And I believe, you know, you've chosen that title, a good death, because how can having one's diaphragm paralyzed and be dehydrated and starved, being aware that you are dying and can't breathe, be a good death? It's everything but a good death, which is why it wasn't to be used on death row and executions in America.
That's why the question mark is very important at the end of that title. I made sure that was on there because we're asking, is this a good death? You know, euthanasia, as you said, from the Greek word euthanatos, means a good or a happy death. And it's actually not. And you said earlier on in your intro that people don't come back from it. So, but some people have escaped. Some people have been put on this end of life combination of drugs, usually a benzodiazepine and an opioid, usually midazolam and morphine, and they have been rescued at the last minute, and so they can describe what it feels like. Absolutely awful. While I was making the film, it suddenly occurred, and talking to other people about what had happened to their loved ones, it suddenly occurred to me that that's what had happened to my mum in 2009. She was only 68. She had breast cancer, and I always used to say she died of chemotherapy if someone asked me, but the actual fact of the matter is she was euthanized and I sat there beside her as she died. And people say, well, is that what spurred you on to make the film? No, that didn't occur to me until I was halfway through making the film. It suddenly dawned on me like a revelation, you know, oh my God, that's what they did to my mum. And I sat there and watched. And it all fell into place. I had dreams for 6 months after my mum. She was so angry with me about everything. And I couldn't work out why she was so angry in the dreams. Now I know, because I could have stopped it, you know, and didn't.
Well, you mustn't take that on, Jackie. And we pray for you and your mum. And I am a Christian and the Lord does answer ultimately. You know, we all stand in judgment, but we all have had loved ones. When you refer to people that have come back, I do know of a case but obviously we can't talk about it because the lady is so terrified of, because of what she heard, what was being planned for her death, because of course she was only paralyzed, her diaphragm, her hearing was working. I have seen this used throughout. I've spoken to nurses, nurses that have left nursing because of this. And I get tip-offs from nurses that work in the community. This is very much, sadly, the good death is alive and well and happening. Jackie, fantastic work, incredible work. We always pray for your safety. Where can people watch this? Where can people find you? And do come on again and give us an update, because this is, you must all watch this.
I mean, yes, I haven't even mentioned the new film. So the new film is Playing God. It's a much broader look at democide in the UK over the last 50 years, from the 1970s to the present day. And it's giving a platform for people to tell their stories of what's happened to their loved ones. So it's not just euthanasia deaths. It's it's not just midazolam deaths. It's people who've died on drug trials, you know, people who've died from the AstraZeneca jab. And it covers it. It's a much broader look. It's filmed very differently. I made it independently with the amazing award-winning directors Naeem Mahmood and Ash Mahmood. We had a London launch last week, and then it was launched online premiere on Children's Health Defence in America and on UK Column. So you can find the film there on those platforms. I've got it. I think I've got it as a pinned post on Twitter. I'm Jackie D.
It's on my Twitter. You can go on my Twitter and it's there today. There's a trailer on YouTube. I don't know how long that'll be on there. Jackie, thank you. Anybody who wants, it's Kate Shimarani at tntradio.live. If you can't find it, I will direct you to Jackie. Jackie's on Twitter. Jackie Devoy, at Jackie Devoy, I think it is. It's all on there. It's all over. Like we said, it's on the Children's Health Defence. Jackie, we have to take a word for our sponsors. Thank you so much for your bravery, your diligence, ongoing diligence, and the fact that we both look like Charlie's Angels. Yes, we do. Jackie, thank you so much. Do come on again. I think if you come on in a couple of months, once everyone has seen this, we can talk more about the feedback from it. I'm sorry I've had to cut it short, but you know, hey ho, we are professionals here. We now need to have a word from our sponsors. You are listening to me, Kate Shimarani, tntradio.live. Get on the platform, buy your socks, get looking for Jackie Devoy's Playing God movie right now, and A Good Death. All of them, you need to get on and watch this. It could save your life or a loved one's life. Back in a minute.
Might not see it coming. It's pre-diabetes, and it captures one in three adults. You may not even know you have it, but you can escape. Take the 1-minute pre-diabetes risk test to know where you stand. With early diagnosis, you can change the outcome and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. Be your own hero on smartphones everywhere at doihaveprediabetes.org.
Hi, I'm Ryan Blaney, a third-generation race car driver. And we dedicate a lot of our time to going as fast as possible. But when my grandpa was diagnosed with Alzheimer's, it was a very unexpected bump in the road for us. It's important to notice if older family members are acting differently, experiencing problems with their memory, or having trouble with routine tasks. Early detection of Alzheimer's can give your family time to explore support services, make a plan for the future, and access available treatments. If you or your family are noticing changes, it could be Alzheimer's. Talk about seeing a doctor together.
A natural nurse in a toxic world. Kate Shimarani on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
It's me. I am your natural nurse in a toxic world on the 28th of January, March, April. Which I'm even forgetting which month it is now. But you know what? What you've got to remember here, folks, on the 28th of April, I was rushing ahead. I wondered why it was so freezing still, is you don't want to end up in this healthcare system. And private is very different. It's my one luxury to myself, and it's extortionate, and I'm having to look for different suppliers. How can you avoid this National Homicide Service? How can you avoid all of this and entering this? Well, obviously, if you get hit by a car or you're in a road traffic incident, it's an accident. That's an emergency situation. There's no amount of, you know, chatting to you at that point. And a lot of my nursing was in A&E and emergency care. NHS Direct, I was one of the inaugural nurses. I worked for Nottingham Emergency Medical Services. I worked in the A&E there. You need emergency care. No one's going to doubt that. But all of the rest of it, how do you avoid it? Well, I'm called natural nurse in a toxic world for a reason. Dirty water, that's chlorine, fluoride, bromine, all of the chemicals they put in it to stop the pipes corroding that are carcinogenic. If you're drinking dirty water, if you're not eating nutrient-dense food, this is why I keep bringing you the right people on to educate you, because you're in the natural nurse army now and our seamen. It's so that you know what to do. And also, if you know how to grow your foods, not nutrient-dense foods, they're only grown in potassium, phosphorus, and nitrogen to make them big and colourful. Now we know in the UK that all our foods are going to be GMO, the slaughtering of our livestock, the fact that control the food, control the people. So you need to think about your food. You can control that to some degree. And your water, you get a distiller, you get a Berkey, you can get a zero water jug. The distiller will heat up your entire room. So it's also heating. You've got to look at what you can do. If not, find the best bottled water you can find for now until you can. And it's much more cost effective to get a distiller. Then you've got to think about going to bed on time, getting lots of sleep. A certain amount of stress is okay for a while, but not prolonged stress. It's going to have an absolute impact on your immune system. So you're taking care of what you're putting down your throat. You're taking care of your air that you breathe, the water. Now you're sleeping so that you can rest. They're the two pillars of good health, is your nutrition and rest. But then you've got to think about your EMFs, limiting this electrical field that's around your body. And that is, you know, hardwire. Turn your Wi-Fi off at night. Don't carry your mobile phone on your body. Certainly don't sit on top of a battery in an electric car. Talk about your street lamps. Find out if they're insured. The ULEZ cameras and all the rest of it. Please do go and look at James Freeman's show last week where I appeared on that. But let's look at personal care products. This fabulous body, I hate to tell you, your skin ain't a wetsuit. Your skin is the biggest organ of your body. So what you put on your skin goes in your skin. This is why when you're given a drug, a transdermal patch, like a nicotine patch, like a drug that's on a patch, you know, and people have hormone replacement therapy, that therapy goes on the skin and it goes into your blood supply, into your systemic circulation. That's all of your blood goes through your liver every 3 minutes. If you keep pumping toxins in, eventually your liver's going to go, I can't handle anymore. And it's going to package them in fat and ship it back out to protect you. That's like when you eat toxic foods and you're eating all these bad chemicals, you get lipomas because the toxins are wrapped in the fat, these lumpy, fatty balls. And also why when you start to lose a lot of weight, you detox as well, because all these chemicals then get back into your systemic circulation and you can get headaches. This is like why when you're dehydrated, and so on, we'll cover it. But look, chemicals then get back into your systemic circulation and you can get headaches. This is like why when you're dehydrated, and so on, we'll cover it. But look, today I thought we'd talk quickly about soap. Good old soap. And the average American woman uses, I don't have one of these things yet on my iPad where I'm reading it like an auto cue. So I've taken notes just for you. So you get to see my eyeshadow as I look down. The average American woman uses 12 personal care products, not this one. And it exposes herself to over 126 unique chemicals. Now, men are no better off. Why? Because your lot are all out there now with all your spraying a cloud of aftershave above your heads and jumping in. I can't breathe around some of you. Spraying all this stuff under your armpits, using all your man moisturizer and all of your other toxic stuff. You're even getting your nails done. And guess what? You've now got man boobs, gynecomastia, spindly arms, because it's disrupting all your hormones. That should frighten the frighten the man boobs right off you. It affects your erection, all of these chemicals. Yes, it does. But anyway, according to the Environmental Protection Agency, nearly 15 million tons of plastic containers in their packaging are generated every year just in the US alone. So, you know, Klaus Anal Swab and all the rest of the Muppets on their private jets, you and your carbon footprint. What about all that? No one's mentioning all these personal care products and all the rubbish that's in it. And don't forget, it goes into the water supply and you've got frogs changing sex. And this is why some of our kids today even don't know what they are. It's not just that they're jumping on the bandwagon, or I'm trans, I want to transition. They don't know what they are because of the chemicals. So guess what, you greasy, sweaty lot. You greasy, sweaty, grimy bunch. We have between 2,500 and 6,000 sebaceous glands per square inch of this fabulous body that produce sebum, which we think of as oil, but it's actually a waxy substance that lubricates your skin, retains moisture, and helps to maintain its integrity. After all, what is the job of your skin? It's to keep these suckers out, not put them in. Not put them in. So do you see? When you're in the shower constantly washing it off with all this garbage and crap all over your body, you're washing it all off what's there to protect you. This is why elderly, they don't often bath every day. It breaches, makes their skin dry. Babies are lovely and yummy and plump. And they have lots of lubricants. When they come out of the womb, they're covered in that vernix as well. And what do? We plunge it in a bath. We put all these Johnson & Johnson garbage in there. Johnson & Johnson talc through the quartz causes ovarian cancer. Mm-mm-mm. But you know what? All of this, you're washing off what's there. So when you do it to the elderly, their skin's very dry. We get older. You look at the new leaves on a tree. They're waxy. They're gorgeous. You can crumple them and they spring back. You look at them by autumn. They're well crispy. I'm getting into the autumn years. I'm well crispy. That's why I glug lots of water and I don't have anything other than soap in that shower. Anyway, so you get all these products and they have leaves on them and all these advertisements, you know, sniff this shampoo and your life's going to improve. And all these flowers start popping out, hypoallergenic, this, that, the other. It's to sell it to you. It's garbage. They're full of humectants, which means they retain water.